Blog Talk Radio.
I feel that chill, smell that fresh cut grass. I'm back in my helmet, cleats and shoulder pads. Standing in the huddle, listening to the call. Fans going crazy for the boys of fall.
Hey everybody, welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. I'm your host, Dave Johnson. Glad you're with me tonight. Hope everybody had a good and happy new year. Need to stay warm inside. It's really, really cold here on the East Coast. I'm telling you, it's been a brutal cold in the Northwest, too, but it's been really cold here. So good night to be inside Studio 1A here in big town of Piney Flats, Tennessee. So we'll get to talk a little bit about women's football tonight and some college football, just a little bit of everything. Topic tonight was a special request to do some football 101, talk about some offensive and defensive formation. So we're gonna talk about some of that in a little bit. But before we do, I'm going to talk about some of this college football. I'm going to tell you, these college playoff games have been, I haven't even got to see them all, but I did write down winners and losers of each game before they all started, and they have been some really, really good games. And that's, to me, that's what it ought to be. And when I looked at the paper, and you can forgive me, all the teams, and I wrote them down and stuff, and I told her, I said, you know what, that looks like some good evenly matched teams and good parity, and that's what you want in any game, not just college. That's what we've seen in the NFL. If you watch NFL, we watch very little anymore, but even that, what you have seen is evenly matched teams. I mean, you got three or four teams that are at the top. There's always three or four. But from the rest of it, it's been really down to the wire. There was a lot of teams that had a chance to get in at the 17th week. They couldn't. So parity is a great thing. I'm telling you, and I've been saying it for since I became a part of women's football. It's one of the best things. I can't say it enough, and it seems like, you know, the harder we try, sometimes the worse it gets. And it's the best thing. I mean, if we're ever going to grow the sport and women's football, we got to look at what they just did with these college bowl games and playoffs and all that. We got to say, hey, that's the direction we need to go in, because there was some great games. I mean, there were most of those games, I didn't get to see them. I've seen some scores or highlights, but most of those games were decided by one score or less, and some of those were within a point or 3 points or whatever. I think the Alabama may have blew Clemson out more than anybody. So, you know, this is what we need. And that's what, you know, here in the – we've got the USWFL Women's Football League, and that's what we're trying to do is create parity. And I know you're going to have – you have 10 teams now, that same amount of players. A couple of them going to have better players. Some of them may have better coaches. And that's what it's going to be. We can't control everything. But I'm going to tell you, I'll guarantee you, if you give me 10 teams have the same amount of players – the parity of it's going to be a lot better football and 10 teams, and one has 50 and one has 10 and blah, 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 so on. So if you watched college football and the bowl games, you've seen exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, shoot, I picked, there was 39 total games of the college bowl game so far, and I picked them all, and I won 26 and lost 13. But, shoot, I started out on fire and ended up, I mean, I just, the last one that I was, the game that I was really sure that I had the teams picked to win, man, I struggled down the stretch. I mean, I probably didn't win 6 or 7 out of the last 15 or so. I don't know. It got terrible, but that's the way it ought to be. You know, that's what we need, and that's what I liked about it. You've seen teams like Wake Forest. I mean, there was no way anybody, I guarantee you. We did a little bowl preview pick, and every single paper that we had turned in had Texas A&M on it. I guarantee you nobody thought Wake Forest could score that many points on anybody. So, you know, I think Arizona State got beat by NC State. They might have got beat pretty bad. I can't remember. Again, you know, everybody went with Arizona State, including myself. Kentucky, I guess, you know, we all here on the East Coast probably went with Kentucky because they play in SEC. And I have got to see Northwestern play, and I didn't see Kentucky play a little bit. But, you know, the game that I didn't even know anything about was the New Mexico State and Utah State game, and it was just a flip of a coin. I got lucky and picked New Mexico State, and they did win. I think they're best with Utah State, and I did firmly believe Ohio State would beat USC like a drum, and I believe they did. So, so you know, the Pac-12, they got a lot of catching up to do out there, in my opinion. They used to be a dominant force, and I don't know really what's happened. But anyway, you know, I'm just saying, you know, college football is to me, is way more exciting than the pros. I mean, I know in the pros you get the better players, and you get better quarterbacks, I guess. But, shoot, who didn't have fun watching Oklahoma and Georgia play last night? I mean, they just went back and forth and back and forth, and I mean, you say nobody's playing defense, but man, they both had great players on each side of the ball, and that's just what's so exciting. And then the overtime rule, I love the overtime rule in college and high school. I absolutely love it. That's, to me, is the first and best way to do overtime that there is. That you get the ball no matter what happens, unless you turn it over. There is no clock. You know, you can pick up first down or two. I really like that overtime. And, you know, I'm in the pro NFL. They have changed theirs, and it's better than what it was. But to me, this is the best system right here that college and high school both go with. So, like I said, it was the first time that the Rose Bowl had ever went to overtime. And, man, it was a great game. I mean, Baker Mayfield, like I said before, I like that guy. He's an emotional guy. He carries them on his sleeve, win or lose. I like it. You know, a lot of people don't. I talked to a friend of mine today, and he didn't like that, you know, things that Mayfield did. But you know what? That's some of the things I like about the guy. So, you know, I'm one of those kind of guys that I like people like that. You know, Nick Saban, he's my favorite college coach. And Bill Belichick, he's my favorite NFL coach. I just like the way they do things, carry themselves. You know, everybody says, well, man, they look mad all the time. Well, I think it's just because they're serious. I think it's just because they care about winning more than they care about just talking about something else, or, you know, worrying about the things that the media and these reporters want them to worry about. And, you know, that's what I like about Baker Mayfield. You know, I thought he played a good game last night. You know, he might have missed one or two throws, but who didn't? I mean, they just, you know, didn't make the right amount of plays when they needed to most. And I think the biggest, if you watch that game like I did, to me, the two biggest plays in that game happened right before halftime when they decided to squib kick it and give Georgia good field position. They threw the ball, had one timeout left, 1 second, called timeout, and our kicker kicked a long field goal right before half. To me, I think that was the turning point of the whole game. And I did watch that game and the Alabama game till about a little after half. And, man, those were some good games. I mean, if you were, well, whoever you scored in Oklahoma-Georgia game, you had to love that game. That was, shoot, man, that's what, if you're a football fan, you wasn't on the edge of your seat the whole time during that game. You're not much of a football fan. You might call yourself one, but you ain't. So I don't care, you know, who wins or loses. And, I mean, I've had picked Oklahoma, and actually I want them to win, even though Georgia's from SEC, just because that's who I'd pick. But it really didn't matter to me. I know a lot of SEC people are tickled to death. So, you know, it's just a great atmosphere about college football. I hope that for these young men and women that play college athletics and these young athletes in high school, excuse me, I hope that we don't ever get rid of the atmosphere that we have at these games of having so much fun, because it is truly a great game that we love. And, you know, when you get into the money and the business side of it, when a sport becomes a business, it's when it's going south, because you start making decisions about the business that you witness about sport. So, you know, even though I know I'd like for women's football to grow, so, you know, to where they might have a WNFL or something. I've said it for years. I don't know how it'll ever do, but, you know, I just think for these girls that played for years and years, and these young girls that play now, and a few of them that get to play on high school teams, or like in Utah, they have that women's league, or for young girls, whatever it is, I'm not sure what it's called, but for all those girls that dream about it and things, I hope that they get to experience what these guys in the NFL do. I just hope it don't turn them into the same kind of people that it's turned these most of these NFL players into. I can't stand their attitudes. I can't stand the way they think. And, you know, we live in the real world around here. And in the end, it might be a business, but to all of us, it's a sport. And it's a fun sport. And, you know, we do lots of things. My life and my wife's life revolve around women's football. I mean, we quit playing in July, and we literally might have took a month off probably from not doing anything. I don't know if we did or not. We actually had to go to the one of the fairs for a promotion over here for the recruit thing for the team. So, no, we didn't even take a month off. And, you know, then it's tryouts, and then it's workouts and off-season workouts, and now we're back into practice. So, you know, it really is a year-round thing, even though you take seasonal, it's really a year-round thing. And it's no different for college or, you know, in the pros, they do. They got all the money. They can take vacations during their off week. Well, you know, those college kids, most of them, I'll tell you, most of them don't have a whole lot. I heard, not sure what the guy's name is, but he wore number 33 for Notre Dame. And I heard him mention yesterday how important it was for him to play in that game and be playing college football, what it meant, because he was raised by a single mother that that worked her three jobs just to raise him and his brother and sisters, and he was real thankful that he got that scholarship and stuff. So, you know, that's what sports does for you right there. And when it takes you and turns you in to most of what these guys in the NFL are turned into, almost like monsters, it's ridiculous. And, you know, I'll be honest, it's just hard for me to stomach anymore to watch some of these guys, some of these teams they play for, and the way they get on there and act, and shoot, they're making more money than everybody that's listening than I combined. So, you know what? Stay true to your roots. It's a game. Have fun. If you're fortunate enough to make a living at it, remember how you got there. Have fun. And these college bowl games were fun. I'll guarantee you, whether any of those people go pro or not, I'm sure there's a lot of them will. It was a blast for both teams last night watching that. You know, and that's the beauty of sports in general is we've been watching these middle school teams here. The nephew plays in middle school, one plays in high school. And, you know, that's the great thing about it is money's not got involved into the players, you know. So that's what I love is the parity, the excitement, the you know, evenly matched teams going at it, people excited about it, you know, just like my friend today saying he didn't like Baker Mayfield for the same reason that I love him for. That's what it's about is, you know, that kind of stuff is conversation. Not everybody likes the same thing, you know. People like chocolate ice cream, some people like vanilla, some like strawberry, on and on. So, it you know, that's what we that's why we play sports is to win and give people things to talk about. Talk about them ourselves and, you know, be confident in if you're playing, you know, that to me that was the biggest thing about Baker Mayfield that I liked is his attitude was like, I mean, he was a walk-on to begin with, and his attitude was like, hey, you know, nothing can slow me down, nothing can stop me. Y'all can say what you want, you can do what you want, care who you are, I'm gonna succeed. And he did. I mean, now they lost last night. They're not gonna play the national championship, but he did win the Heisman, and to me, it was well-deserved. A lot of people think it wasn't, but it was well deserved. And shoot, I'm happy for him. I'm proud for him, and I wish a lot more players would do, you know, act that way instead of going out here and getting in trouble. Show you, you know, show your emotions on the field, and you know, and I love that. I mean, I'm telling you, that guy, he's a. And I don't care about Oklahoma football, but I like his competitiveness and the way he does things. So I really, really like that. And I'll tell you something else about this. One thing about this college football, you know, while we're still talking about it, and I was wrong, and I'm going to admit I was wrong to whoever I said it, but UCF, and that's one thing me and Mike had talked about. Coach Wallace talked about before was we was having our debates and talking about it. He said, you know, UCF, no matter what conference it's in, they should be ranked higher. And you know what? I've watched them play Memphis before they played Auburn, and they played really good offense. But, you know, I wasn't sold on them probably just because of the people they played. And if anybody don't know who UCF is, it's the University of Central Florida. I'm going to admit I was wrong. They really deserved to be ranked higher than what they were. I mean, they beat Memphis, and Memphis was a good team. They beat them twice, I believe. And then they come and beat Auburn. Shoot. We know how good Auburn can be, and they destroyed Georgia, which is in the championship game. Like, I mean, beat them like a drum, and then beat Alabama by 14 or something. So, you know what? You can beat Auburn like you did. Drive, I mean, Auburn is good, slowing down. So they do deserve to be ranked higher than what they were. So I'm going to admit I was wrong on that. I didn't really know a whole lot about them. And, you know, that's sort of an unfair statement that I said, because talking about the league they played in, because I say it all the time, and I really do believe it. And it don't matter. I get so tired of hearing these NFL mock draft guys. Well, this guy here, he played like Carson Wentz. He played North Dakota State. He's not played anywhere. I firmly believe if you're a good football player, you're a good football player no matter where you play. That's just like our football team. We got some good football players on our team, and most people around the country don't even know who our team is. They can play. I guarantee you, I've got girls on my team that can go make any team. I guarantee you, and play and start. So if you can play, you can play. Don't matter where you're from. And you know what? It's just like these. If you're in Division One football and you're in the league, third guy ranked, and you go undefeated, then yeah, you deserve to be mentioned in the mix for the best team. So, sort of taking a little backwash of my own words there, but that's really the way it ought to be. You know, and a lot of people don't know is they're getting ready to lose their head coach. He's going to Nebraska and be their head coach, Scott Frost, and I believe that's where he played, was out there in Nebraska. So, you know, I'm sure they're, even though they went undefeated this year and won the bowl game, beat Auburn, which, you know, most people around here think SEC is the best conference, and they certainly didn't prove it during the bowl games, but they play. There's a lot of good teams, and they beat up on each other week in and week out. So, you know, they're well deserved to be ranked in the way up there. In my opinion, you know, they should be ranked right. Well, it's probably going, if they did a finish poll, be the 1 and 2 who win this game. They ought to be finish up in the top five, in my opinion. So, after taking a beating all year, barely getting into the polls, I think they went into that last game ranked 13th or 14th. They were underdogs in that. So, you know, hey, it don't matter where you play, who you play, you got to win your game. You can't make your schedule. You can only play the teams that are on your schedule. And if you do that, win your games, you'll be successful one way or another. So my hat's off to them. Like I said, I fairly unjudge them or give them a bad judgment, whatever you want to call it. So good luck to Scott Frost. This time next week, I guess everybody knows, we're going to be talking about a new college football national champion. So for those who don't know, it's going to be Georgia and Alabama SEC teams, both representing, and they didn't play each other during the year, so it's going to be a good game to see who we got, you know. You know, it's just a tough sledding down here. Some of these teams, and I think that, you know, the SEC beats up on one another so much that it hurts them when they get to these bowl games. But anyway, it's going to be a good game. I firmly believe it's going to be a good game. And, you know, a lot of people are taking Georgia to kill them. I only got one thing to say, and that's Roll Tide. I'm pulling for Nick, so hope they win it all. I hope they play like they did last night. I think they got a really, really good chance. So who knows, but that's about it. Our week here in college football, so, you know, need one game left. That's Monday, and then the college football is going to be out for a while. But the best thing for us is women's football is just right around the corner. If you are an NFL fan, I believe there's two games this Saturday, and then two games Sunday, and then I guess couple games next week, Saturday and Sunday, and then what, Super Bowl. So, you know, it's not long. February, first weekend of February, I guess, in Super Bowl. So, March 31st, the USWFL is going to kick off Fair Tri-Cities, Bristol, Tennessee, with the kickoff classic. And we're looking forward to that. Been working on schedules all day, trying to get that ready. So women's football is just right around the corner, and we're really, really excited about it. I mean, I couldn't be more excited than anything about this year. For some reason, I'm more excited than I've ever been. So, you know, we're ready and anxious, and there's a lot of girls that worked hard during the off season, and it shows. There's a lot of them that haven't worked hard, and that shows. So we really got a lot of work to do to get our team back to where we need it. We've had several girls that left the team for different reasons. So, you know, and you always get a few new faces. So, I mean, it was really cold this past Saturday. We had our first official practice in full pads, and several girls showed up for it. And I'm really proud of the ones that did, because it was really, really cold. And it seemed to get colder all day long, and we hung in there. So it's looking up for this year. And I was really pleased. Like I say, we got a lot of work to do. I'm sure everybody does at this point. Some teams I know tell me they've been practicing 3 or 4 times a week for months, and hey, that's good. You know, I'm glad you can. I wish we could practice every day. This seems that, you know, that we can't get it done, but the more you practice, the better you're going to be. When you get more familiar with your offense, your defense, or your person playing beside you, or whatever position you play, you know, when playing football, and it ain't just women's football or men's, it's football in general, when you can get as familiar with it as you do your job, then you're getting somewhere. If you get up every morning and get ready to go to your work, you do the same thing. You get on the same routine. You get up same time, take a shower, whatever your routine is, you already know what you're going to do. When you get to work, you know how you're going to do things. Well, when football becomes that much to you, when you step on the field, and if you're the quarterback, coach tells you something, you know what everybody's supposed to do right off. That's when you know you've got something going. And if you're in the huddle and the quarterback makes the call and you ain't looking like you're lost or having to ask somebody, you know right away, you know, maybe you're the one that's helping other people, you know you're on the right track. And that really hurts women's football. I'm going to tell you, the lack of knowledge, lack of experience, lack of effort and work, showing up, putting in the long hours. It looks like these teams that said they've been practicing 2 or 3 times a week for months. You know, from what I hear, they're determined. They haven't won a game in a couple of years, and they're more determined than ever. Now, you got to like it, whether it's your team or whoever it is. When you got that kind of attitude and determination, and I'll tell you right now, better look out, because good things can happen. And, you know, I sort of envy that. I wish we could do it. I'll be honest with you. I'd like to practice every day. And, you know, people don't realize, you know, what it means, what you miss. Like, these girls never play in high school football. They don't really realize how much they miss by practicing every day. You think about it, when I was in high school, we practiced 2 days for 2 weeks. We probably practiced more in 2 weeks before, I mean, just in 2 days, than my team was going to before our first game. I mean, that's scary. I mean, if you go to thinking about it that way, so that's why it's important to have that knowledge. That's why it's important to always be there, no matter what. Like I said, I know it was cold. I think most of our players showed up. There was a handful that didn't, different reasons, but they really surprised me. So we didn't look near as bad as I thought we might. So maybe we'll get things heading in the right direction. We do have a few new girls on the team. Jessica Vallejos, Olivia Stapp, Haley Hughes, Jennifer Grant, Kristen Jenkins, Tiffany Evans, Megan Lyons, and Mindy Jenkins. I think those are all the newest additions to the Tri-Cities Thunder, and I want to thank them for joining our team. Hopefully they're joining a great organization. And, you know, we win, lose, or draw, we stand for what's right. That's to work hard and go out there and leave it all on the field. And if you beat us, you beat a good team. And when the day's over, we're going to shake your hand and go our separate ways. So we're hoping that everybody can experience this year what most of these girls have got experienced last year. And that's a lot of wins and a championship. There's a lot of good teams in our league. I mean, a lot of them. So, you know, there's a lot of work to do. And, you know, the players and coaches showing up, I don't know if it ever got out of the 20s on Saturday. And that just proves to you that, you know, I can't say we had it every day how many would show up, but I emphasize that, you know, we need to be there. If you didn't, you better have a good excuse. And if you didn't let me know, then it was going to be too late. So they all did what they needed to do. And like I said, coaches and players showed up. And we went for a long time, too. It wasn't no just a little hour or so practice. I mean, we went for about 4 or 5 hours. And we learned a lot. So that's what we like. But anyway, I just wanted to talk a little bit about our team and the league. And we got things going on. And we just love women's football around here. And, that's what got me into this show was women's football. So we're so excited to get the year kicked off. Man, I'm telling you, it wouldn't bother me if we could play 15 games. So we just don't have the amount of players. Not many teams do. So that's why these seasons are so short. And then all these girls work jobs and stuff. So, but I wish we could play. It wouldn't bother me if we played year round. So that's what we like. But anyway, we're going to get on to this first topic tonight. And it's going to be offensive formations. And, you know, used to be everybody you seen would run a eye or a wishbone. You know, an eye formation, that means the fullback and the tailback lines up behind the quarterback, and that becomes an eye formation. And he can run the ball left, you know, we call them dives, and they will be odd number dives. Fullback's always three back, at least it always is in our program, was when I was in school. So if you're in an eye formation, you've got the quarterback, he can be in a pistol, he can be in a shotgun, he can be under center, she can be whatever you want to call it, under center, pistol or shotgun. And you can you run that eye, you run a fullback, and you run a tailback, you know. And in the day, fullbacks were, you know, usually they were used more then than they are now. They were sort of the bruiser type, short yardage, you know, punishers up in there, like a heavyweight boxer. That's pretty much, you know, how to explain it. So the heavy hitters. And then you can run the 31, 33 dies with the pullback. Then you can turn around and use the pullback with a lead blocker and the tailback, the two-back, and you can run a 21 and a 23 die. Now, when you say 1 and 3, between the center to the left is the guard. Between that guard and that center is the 1-0. It is for us. And some other teams may call it different. That's all I've ever noticed that. The whole time I've been involved in football, and that's been for a long time, 38 years, 37, whatever. And on the other side of the guard, between the guard and the tackle, is the 3-0. And so the fullback's a 3-back, so you run a 31. She's going to run between the left side of the center and the guard. If it's a 33, she's going to run on the left side of the guard and the tackle in that gap right there. You can also, like I say, use the fullback and the lead blocker. You can run a 21. You know, and she just going to follow the fullback right up in the one gap, follow her right up in the three gap. Everything on the right side is all even numbers. Between the center and the guard on the right is the two gap. Between the guard and the tackle on the right side is the four gap. So you run 32, 34, and turn around, use fullback, lead blocker, run the 22 and a 24. All right. Then you can also use that pullback as a fake. Then you can option it. If you go fake 31 or 3, you fake it to the fullback coming up in there. Then the quarterback and the tailback can run an option. And if anybody don't know what that option is, that means after she fakes it to the fullback in whichever gap she decides to fake is, she goes down the left side of the line. She got a tailback following her behind her. She flips the ball to her if she wants to, or she can keep it. And that's why it's called the option. And you can do that to the right as well. You can run the option out of all kinds of formations. You know, you got the wishbone. Used to, that was a big thing when I was in school. You got a big bruiser of a fullback and two really good tailbacks. You slam them. Fullback up the middle, you run that option with those tailbacks, you know. So that's the wishbone, and it looks just like you got the quarterbacks in a wishbone. It's usually under center. I guess that can go in the pistol or the shotgun we have, and the fullback would line right up behind the quarterback like they would in an I formation. And each back would line up behind them about their inside foot even or a little bit further out than the fullback's outside foot. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways to run that option. And those are really good ways to do it. You can run a lot of cross and stuff out of that, you know. You know, you can just... Nowadays, it's got to, you know, everybody wants to get real fancy. I mean, you watch LSU play. I mean, they move so much before ever playing. A lot of that stuff, to me, is just, you know, just wind dressing. And, you know, it's really confusing for a lot of these players, especially for women that don't have as much knowledge. And you're just trying to get the basics in. You know, you try to keep all the confusion down you can. So, but a lot of people run that crossing runs out of that wishbone. There's just lots of things you can do. And a lot of this depends on your personnel. You know, back used to, the backs were bigger, not as fast, and they just sort of pounded at you. Quarterbacks were really runners, just throw it every now and again. You know, then you watch Army and Navy, the way they run there, it's sort of almost like a wing T type formation. And they run that ball and up the middle, and they'll run options to each side of it and throw very little out of it. I mean, like I watched the Army and Navy play, and the Army quarterback didn't have it like two options. I mean, he kept it all every time, but twice. So, you know, there's lots of ways to run the ball and, you know, run those dives. And that's what the fullback usually does. That's what mainly a fullback does is block and run dives. Very seldom do they ever go out for a pass. Very seldom do they ever get outside the tackles, run the ball. The fullback is a bruiser, like I say, a heavyweight type person, in a heavyweight pack, not necessarily them in general, heavyweights. That's what a fullback usually is. Tailback's usually a little faster, more elusive, catch the ball better, have better hands, that type of person. So those are, you know, a lot of the old running style formation. Sometimes you still see that. I mean, we run it some. I like it depending on, you know, we actually do have a couple good fullbacks and a couple good tailbacks. But our backs also can play in a 21 formation, which is two tight ends and a one back, and they can all play there. You know, there's a pro set. That's where you have two tailbacks, and they line up just like they would in the wishbone, except there's not a fullback up there. And you can still run the crossing pattern. You can still run the option. You can dive one forward and option with the other one. There's all kinds of different ways and formations. Now, like I say, if you don't get to practice every day, I'm going to tell you better figure one or two out and keep it simple if you don't get to practice a lot. If you're going to try to run all these that we're talking about, you better be practicing a lot. You know, then you get a complete spread. That's where, you know, you got all receivers. And, you know, if some of you don't understand, there has to be seven players on the line of scrimmage at the snap of the ball. And so usually now, I'm just saying usually, especially with us and women's, all that, you got five linemen, and if you got tight ends, you'll put them on the ball. If you run a slot receiver, if you go a complete spread, and you run a slot receiver with a tight end, they will have to be off the ball if they want to be eligible. And then the wide receiver on the other side of the slot receiver would have to be on the ball. So they're on, off, on. That means they're all eligible to go out for a pass. Same way on the other side. So at all times, you have to have seven on the line of scrimmage, whether it's made up by the five linemen, two tight end, or five linemen and two wide receivers, whatever. There has to be seven on the line of scrimmage at the snap of the ball. So, and if you want to be eligible for a pass, they all have to be staggered through there. So, you know, you see a lot of these teams run trips, and they'll be stacked right beside them. And the closest person to the quarterback is on the ball, and then there'll be just a little space, and then one person will be off. And an outside person will be on the ball, and they'll be within arm's distance of one another. And they're all eligible because they're staggered off the line of scrimmage. So I know we're talking about some simple stuff here. Some people may not understand the concept of some of this that they're listening tonight. And, you know, and I'm not trying to down talk to anybody. It's just a special request to do this, and you know, I'm just wanting to cover all the basics of sort of how it runs. So there are really all kinds of ways, and like I say, the NFL, they got play sheets probably five pages long, each play certain formation and that kind of stuff, and you know, it all looks good. And like I was telling JC earlier there, that the Washington Redskins won a Super Bowl, and I remember Joe Theismann saying, shoot, we only had seven plays. We just changed up personnel, right? Seven to the left, same seven to the left, same seven to the right. So you know, if you master these plays and if you pick up your blocks when you're supposed to and all that, then you can run an offense successfully with at least in women's football, I'm going to say, without having to move everybody all the time and that kind of stuff. Now, if you get practice a lot, I guess all that's good because it makes teams uneasy, I guess. But me personally, we move very little, you know, and I'm not saying that we won't, but we move very little. So, you know, that's just sort of some of the formations you can run on offense. And I know there's probably people saying, well, he left some out. Well, I did, but, you know, those are sort of the basics. You can run an offset eye. You can run, I've seen them run three backs back there in an eye. So, like I said, I've seen a little bit of all of it, and, you know, you can run a one-back set and them not be behind you, and you can run a read option with that, and they'll put them beside them and run that read option. That's where the quarterback's reading the defensive end or whoever his read is, her read, and they're reading it, and that means they're going to either give it to the running back or they're going to keep it for sale. Most of that's run by the running back to the left or right of you. So there's all kinds of formations that you can run. My suggestion and what I believe is find one or two that works and roll on with them. And a lot of that's got to do with your personnel, you know. So if you got good running backs, you know, run that pro set, run that 22 formation. That's two tight ends and two running backs. That's a really good formation. If you got a good fullback, you can run a high. You can run a single back. I mean, there's lots of ways. So, you know, if you want to throw it, if you got a good quarterback, you want to run that spread all the time, shoot, you line your five receivers up out there and throw it every now. I like that. You know, it just depends on your personnel. So, and I'll guarantee, of course, even in the pros, but, you know, they draft players they want. So these coaches draft to their what they like to do. So it ain't like us. We just take whoever comes along. And I want to see him make a quarterback. I want to see him play running back. You know, and then we just have to make them whatever we want them. So, you know, that's why I say it's hard to say what's the best. You know, what's the best is what fits each team the best. So, to me, that's, you know, that's the approach I take it. And I don't, you know, claim to be the greatest person in the world on this stuff. I just know one thing, and that's simple. Like I said, one of my high school coaches played football and basketball at Arizona State. And, you know, he always told us, football is simple, and his motto was KIS, and that was always for keep it simple. And I firmly believe that. You know, I hear, you know, a lot of people, they find out, you know, we've heard other people or coaches, and they find out you coach women. Oh, okay, well, ain't no use talking to you about football. You don't know what this means. I know whatever bit of it means. That don't mean I have to like it. That don't mean I have to run it. That don't mean I believe it works, because you know what? Most of it's just lingo. I mean, you hear them all the time. You hear all these commentators all the time saying, oh, you see what he ran? That was just a simple post route. That was just a simple go. That was just a simple hitch. That was just a simple slant. Well, does it matter what you call that receiver, as long as the person knows what to run when they're getting the ball? I don't think so. But you know what? It's just, I think it's just like people, you know, out here wanting to show off they got a new car versus the person that don't have a new car. And, you know, to me, it is just lingo. It is just talk. You know, it really drives me crazy when I hear that. So, now, it is a good – if you've got a lot of good, knowledgeable players, you can do things like that. But, you know, like us, we've got two two brand new receivers this year that love football, don't know anything about football. So, you know what? You got to keep it simple, and that's what works, and that's all that matters. It don't matter what you call it, X, Y, Z, whatever, you know. So, as long as they know what to do and you get it on the same page, that's what matters. So, anyway, moving on to the defense. They're just like offense. There's a lot of formations, not near as many as they are on offense, you know, and probably the most typical everybody sort of seems to run is what they call a 43, you know, and it's just a 4-3, and that's two down linemen and two defensive ends, and then you got a middle linebacker two off the ball about 3 yards, and they're lined up off the ball on the center, and then you got linebackers on each side of her that are filled in those gaps, and that's where you get the term 4-3. And then you'll have four defensive backs, and your outside defensive backs are called corners, and usually the ones in the middle of the field are called safety, and that's what most people run, even in NFL. That's what they mostly run, is a 4-3-4. So probably the best defense to run, if you got good pass rushers, sort of gives you the opportunity to stop those guys. Also gives you the opportunity to rush the passer off the edges there. You can put your linebackers, pull them up to the line of scrimmage beside your defensive ends and give you more pass rushers if it's a run-heavy situation. Or, you know, it'll move them up there closer in the box. So that's probably the most famous is the 43, they call it. And it's a good defense, no doubt about it. You got two really good defensive linemen that can play well together and really get after it and draw double teams all the time. It is a great formation. So especially if a lot of teams like to run the ball and run it up the middle. So it's probably the most popular, and it's probably I would say the most ran and the most simple to run. You really don't have but a couple of responsibilities running that, you know. Very seldom do they, in college and pros they do. They'll do blitz packages out of it, but, you know, there might be some women that, you know, run some blitzes and run crosses off of it, but most of the time, you know, women, it's a little slower type game, and they don't move as much. And if you watch these college and NFL teams, the splits, the offensive linemen get, and speaking of that, I probably didn't cover that in the offensive segment there, but it's between what the center, the distance between the center's outside foot and the guard's or tackle's inside foot, whichever side, the gap they get between them, that's called a split. And, you know, and women, shoot, I have seen them run foot to foot. Or, you know, like us, we don't get a very wide split. And most of the time it's because women can't move their feet. Happens in high school, too. So it's hard to run those circle and crossing blitzes and all that stuff because there's not enough movement or room to get them through. That's why this 4-3 defense is really, really good to run. Now, I like the 3-4 as well. You got a really, really good nose guard that, I mean, tough, can beat up that center all day long. Then you got some. And I like that formation. I know I had to play center some when I was in high school and always prided myself on being the best lineman on offense and defensive lineman on my team, and I'll tell you what, We played a team locally in our county, and they had a good nose guard, and that sucker beat me to death all night long. So if you got a good nose guard, you run that 3-4, and you take those real fast defensive end to get at the quarterback, or you can turn that 3-4 into 5-2 real easy, find those defensive ends just a little bit, the defensive tackles. You know, you can run that 5-2. Now, I've seen that run a lot in women's football because of the, you know, if the team don't have very much speed, they'll try to run up the middle or try to get around the edges, and they'll stack that box and put five down linemen up there and put a couple linebackers there just to, you know, then they move them wherever they want. They actually have 7 on the line of scrimmage, really stack the box. So, you know, that kind of stuff is sort of typical in women's. Now, you don't see it much in men or college or pros for sure, because the knowledge of those guys, you take good quarterback in the NFL, walk up there and see you got 7 on the line of scrimmage and no linebackers, he's getting ready to burn you a new one with tied in right there across the middle. So it's very rare that you'd see that in other than women's or maybe middle school or, you know, something low-level high school. But because the quarterbacks in those situations, they can audible. So it don't have to be to nobody but them and one player. And they get on the same page and they can eat you live if they're good enough to realize to get out of the play. So, but they do. I have seen them run that 5-2 a lot in women's football. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, I was always, when I was raised playing football and a young person, the best tackler on the team always was your, usually is what you want, is your middle linebacker. They have to be the toughest player. You look back over the years, Dick Butkus and Jack Lambert and Ray Nitschke and Mike Singletary and all these, I'm leaving out a bunch, Ray Lewis. I mean, I could just go on and on. Those guys were great. I'm not just talking about good. They were great. Those guys are unbelievable. They will usually lead the team in tackles. They're the ones that have to step up that run every time. That's usually the person that makes, like I said, leads your team in tackles. They got to be the hard-nosed person. They got to be able to take more licks, more hits, at speed coming at them than anybody. And, you know, I've seen coaches put their best tackler on the line. I've seen them move him to the outside linebackers. And, you know, if you're playing middle linebacker and you're the best tackler on the team and you've got a lot of knowledge, that's usually another thing. The middle linebacker has more knowledge of what's going on than anybody else. And when that middle linebacker is in the middle, they can make plays up the middle, to the left, and to the right. Well, if you put your best tackler to the right, what do you think? If the other coach got any brains at all, he's going to run to the left. You know, well, then they move to the left, and then you run to the right. So I've seen it, questioned it, asked about it. Oh, no, man, you want your best tackler over here. Okay. How'd that work for you? That's all I've got to say. If you're listening tonight, how'd that work for you? So, you know, I don't get it, but tell you what, then again, that's what I say. Everybody likes to run their own thing. But, you know, even you see a lot of these teams, they'll get out there and they'll run a, like you get a good passing team, likes to run that complete spread, they'll run a nickel package. And what that is, they'll take a linebacker or a down lineman off and run more linebackers and defensive backs or just defensive backs, and they'll call that a nickel package. And, you know, they sometimes run those dime packages where they put six DBs in the game and, you know, get more speed out there to slow down the options or the quick pitches and all these fast throws, these bubble screens and all that kind of stuff. So there's so much about football that you can do. And I'm going to tell you this, we didn't even work on – we worked very, very little on defense this past Saturday, and it just seems like so simple that you work on offense so dang much, you know, that to slow down the offense and the defense, and just, you know, it's just sort of simple. I don't know, it's like simple math. You know, it just comes easy for you. You can diagnose it real easy. Now, I'm not saying it's always simple, but, you know, the concept of it. So there's lots of different formations and ways to play defense and offense. It's not just one way. And those are just the basics, you know. So that's, you know, then some teams even run that dang prevent. You know, I don't know if any of y'all heard that. Well, they're in prevent. And the concept of the prevent, my theory is it always prevents you from winning the game. Because you don't want to give up the big play. You just give up 10 or 12 yards at a time, they chew up all the clock, end up beating anyway. So I don't like it. I mean, I don't know the scenario I'd run a dang prevent, because I firmly believe it prevents you from winning the game. They, you know, it's one of them type deals. They'll put one down lineman and a bunch of linebackers in there, and like they're going to put pressure on you with one down lineman, and they move them linebackers way back, about six or seven defensive backs, and you just sort of let them complete the ball in front of you, and you make the tackle and hope that you can keep them out of the end zone before the dang clock expires or whatever. And I'm not a fan of it at any level. And, you know, as great as the NFL players in the NFL are, it drives me crazy to see them go this prevent. So I'm not a fan of that at all. Like I said, I don't know of any situation that you would see me run that kind of defense. So I hope I covered all that tonight and, you know, got most of what the person that asked me to do it, requested me to do it. I hope I did a good job for you. It's tough, you know, like I say, had somebody today call me and say, well, man, it's hard to talk about formations without being able to see pictures. And it is. And, you know, and I talked to them and I said, you know, it is really. But, you know, I hope I did as good as I could without having a chalkboard or something to draw it up on. I know that some, I may have left some out that, you know, I know those are just the basic things that people want to do. And, you know, I just do what works for us. And, you know, it seems like every single year we changed our defensive formation. And that's because of the personnel we've had. You know, it's not that I think that one defense is so much better than the other. It's just if you got the personnel to run one better than others. And, you know, that's the greatest thing about college and pros that, you know, that we don't get to deal with. So you get to recruit and sign and all that, who they want to fit those personnel. And like I said earlier about the offense, we just have to take what we get and make that person either fit our formation or change our formation to fit them. So it's not as easy as people think it is. And you know, all these guys think, oh, you coach women, you don't know this. Well, I'll just challenge any of you out there, you know, thinking I don't know as much about football in general as you do. I'm not going to – I don't have to get around my buddies and talk about, oh, man, you see this X receiver over here catch this pass, and the next thing you hear is the announcer say, man, that was a good poster out, you know, or, man, they just run a seam right down the middle of the field, or they just run a bubble screen, you know, or all kinds of stuff. So, you know, I really do get tired of hearing that, and it happens, like I say, a lot, because you're coaching women, they think you don't know, and that drives me crazy, because there is a lot, I know there's a lot of women that don't know as much about football as they need to, the knowledge ain't there, but there's a lot of women that know a lot about football, and a lot of women I know, and there's a lot of girls on our team that know more about football than a lot of guys I know, and if these guys would hear how they talk, sometimes it makes yourself look stupid, if you ask me. So, you know, it ain't always, you know, Coach, well, man, why'd you change from, why are you running a 4-3 this year? You last year run a 5-2 or whatever. Well, you know, I lose a good lineman, and next thing you know, a girl comes up to a better linebacker, and there you go. We're going to have two down linemen instead of, two down linemen to the three, and you have three linebackers to the two. That's just the way it is with us, you know. So it ain't always about who's got the best formation or that. Usually about who's got the best personnel and who knows how to use it, who knows how to get the best out of that personnel they got. And that's what we want to do better than anybody. I don't care who scores on my team. I don't care how we score on my team. I don't care who makes the tackle. As long as we score and as long as we make those tackles, it does not matter. Don't matter if we throw it 100 times or if we run it 100 times. As long as we're scoring, I don't care. So with that being said, you just play to the strengths of your personnel, those formations. So as a coach, that's what you have to do. So, you know, everybody wants to get on these coaches about having these bad attitudes and that. Usually that's the ones I like, because they're tired of hearing all the bull crap too. They want to talk about what good things was done or what they need to work on, not hear some reporter or somebody put words in their mouth or ask them some dumb question. So I feel the same way. And I'm nowhere near as good as what they are, but I can relate to the way they feel when they're getting asked these stupid questions. So with that being said, I'm going to get off the formations here, answer some questions, talk a little bit about the USWFL. Like I said, I've been working all day on the USWFL schedule. Hope to see what would be the 16th, I believe. Maybe it's the show after next. Maybe I'll have the USWFL schedule done completely by then and have it, you know, reviewed by the teams and all that. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk about that. Hoping to have a good show and announce all the teams that we got in the USWFL maybe next week. We'll try to get most of the schedule done before I do any announcement of that. Before I do forget, though, and answer these questions and stuff, I do want to tell you next week we got a couple special guests from the Regina Riot women's football team in Canada. They won a championship in their division this past year, and I think we're going to have a coach and one of the players on the show next week and talk to them and find out what's different about football in Canada versus here in the United States, and you know, to see how they compare to the things we do. I know we got a girl on our team that is from Canada, so I don't know where they're from, but we'll find out. So I wanted to talk about that before I forget. And like I say, hopefully we'll be able to announce the teams in the USWFL. I do know this, that anybody wants to mark it on the calendar, March the 31st is going to be the inaugural kickoff classic. It's going to be in Bristol, Tennessee, at Stonecastle. We're planning on having four games there that day. And to clarify, it will be eight teams, two teams each playing one game. So that makes four games. Not Tri-City Thunder playing four games. So they're going to play one game. I've learned you got to really, really clarify yourself. People don't understand it a lot. So those are a few things coming up. And, you know, if you want to check out our website, USWFL website, USWFL.net, or the Tri-Cities Thunder, the website is tricitiesthunder.com. I don't know how much up to date or what I was on there. Jennifer been working a lot, putting in a lot of hours, and till we really get this, all these teams and the schedule solidified, we're not going to put a bunch of information out there. We did do a press release on a new team we got from Houston called the Houston Heat. They joined their league last week. They're going to be in Division II. So glad they came along. Looking forward to seeing them. They will be playing in the inaugural kickoff classic. They're going to do a lot of traveling this year. You know, they joined late, and they're willing to travel. And, hey, that's good. I like it. They seem to have their stuff together, at least from what I can tell. So seem serious about their team. And for some of you people listening out there, they were somehow, some way part of the All-Star game that took place in Vegas. I don't think they had a hand in running it or recruiting it. Maybe some players played in it, some coaches coached in it. I'm not real sure, and I don't want to say more than I know, but they had something to do with it. So they're definitely not scared to travel. They traveled to Vegas from Houston, a good hike. So if you want to check out the Facebook page of the USWFL Football League and the Tri-Cities Thunder Women's Football, like I say, if you're new out there first time, you need somewhere to play, you ain't got very long if you want to play for us, because we're getting ready to roll on what we got. Not trying to make anybody mad, but, man, it gets tougher each year. And seems like if you don't keep up with it, you know, you get that much farther behind. So, you know, we're gonna work it. And, you know, it's just like the guy said earlier, people that don't realize you want to be good at something, you got to work at it. And he's exactly right. And that's what we intend to do. And we're not going to play along about it. So, if you're a new player out there, want to play for a good team, give us a call. Also, I want to thank JC Hawk Sports Network for having us on here every Tuesday night, letting us talk about football of all kinds, sports of all kinds. And we've talked more about women's football night. It's going to start being that way from here on. It's getting to be women's football season. And we're really, really excited about it. If I hadn't said it 100 times, I'm going to say it 101. So that's how excited about it I am. And I hope everybody else is too. I mean, that's why, that's what we do. And that's why, you know, how I got started on this show was through women's football. So if you ain't as excited about it as I am, you ought to be. You need to get, no matter what team you play on or what team you like or organization or whatever, find you one. Be a part of it. Get in there, you know, go talk to them, whether you just a fan or want to help or take up money or work concession stand or do change or be water girl or boy or announce, whatever. Man, it don't matter. All these teams need a lot of help. And I'll guarantee you, if they're like ours, they appreciate every little bit of help they can get. So if you want to be there, I guarantee it. There's probably a few teams out there that wouldn't just take anybody. But for the most part, I'll guarantee you, most of the women's teams that I know would take any kind of help they can get. And if you want to be a part of women's football, then and I don't care what area you live in, there's probably a women's team pretty close to you. You can be a part of it. There ain't, you give me a call, or you get a hold of JC, and she can get a hold of me, and we'll find you one. Because I bet you most of these teams will be glad to have any kind of help they can get, especially if they're like ours. And you can be a part of a great organization and give you something to be proud about, something to be serious about. You know, it's just like me. You start talking about my team, and you're going to get on the bad side of me. And there's a few other people to take that serious and fence too. And that's what you like. That's what I'm saying. If you ain't excited about women's football as I am, then you need to be. You need to get on the train because we're rolling. But anyway, I'm going to get to answering these questions and see what we got here. All right, first question is from a women's football fan. Says, I sometimes find it hard to switch up from defense to offense during our cross training. What's the best way to remember the plays when switching? Well, I mean, I'll say this. What we do is, I mean, we have a bunch of, well, everybody plays both ways. But I'd say the least amount of our players playing both ways are in linemen. They're usually bigger, and they're usually in the worst shape. So we try to at least limit them as much playing both ways as possible. But most of the receivers and the smaller, skinnier girls that get in shape, I'm not saying you have to be skinny to get in shape. Just saying from what I know, what I've seen, is they usually do more playing both ways, special teams, and that kind of stuff. Now, you know, what we do is for instance, like, I mean, my plan for this past Saturday was to work on offense for a couple hours and then work a couple hours and a half, really, and work on defense for a couple hours and get together and run a few plays. Well, you know, it just didn't work like that. We ended up pretty much, we did do a little bit of work on defense, but it wasn't really any coaching. We just sort of worked our offense a little bit, just sort of filled in some gaps and that kind of stuff. So offense takes so much time. And like, you know, on Thursdays, we have off-season workouts on Thursday. And if you played on my team and you made that Thursday practice, all we do is work on offense. That's all we do. Every Thursday, it's work on offense. First thing we do after we stretch on our weekend practice is work on offense. So if you played for me, it wouldn't be too bad because I'm going to drill you so many times, so long, so much with that offensive because you're going to get less defensive work. And really, there's no – even if you just play defensive back for me, you know what the wide receiver positions are, wide receiver routes are, because that's just the way it is. I make every single player – whether they play defense or they play offense, they know what to do on both sides of the ball. And we work on offense more than we work on defense. And so defense comes along. If you're playing defense, I mean, there's not that many, in our scheme, there's not that many defensive plays you would even have to remember. The one thing you would have to remember is if you're in one of the blitz packages and you'd have to remember what that was, and the middle linebacker would tell you, if we huddled, hey, here, you need to blitz. And she's the one that's going to have to remember to call or signal when I send it in. And when she tells you, you've got to know who you are and what you need to do. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Every single time we run a route, whether it's on Thursdays, whether it's on the weekends, whatever, the very first thing I do is ask the best receiver on my team to the newest receiver on my team, do you know what route to run? Do you know what to do? So before there's any kind of miscommunication to get anybody confused or anything, I head that off. I don't care. And they'll tell you, it don't matter if they're the best receiver I got or they're the newest receiver I got that don't know nothing. And I'm standing there teaching them. Before that quarterback takes the snap, I ask them, you know what to do? And they say yes or no. They say yes, then I expect them to do it. If they don't know, they better ask me. Don't tell me yes and go out there and run the wrong route because I don't like it. If you don't know, ask me. I'll tell you. We're good. So, to me, that's how I keep them separated. We don't just, like we did. We do sometimes drive down the field, then change up. We'll be left offense. Some of the girls play offense, play defense, and that kind of stuff. But we work more on offense. So, and every single time we run a route, whether it's in a group, whether it's in just 7-on-7, whatever it is, I ask them each time, do you know what to do? And I think that keeps the miscommunication down. And then, like I said, it may be, maybe the best receiver on our team thinks, man, I know what to do. It's just clarification. That means the person beside them knows that I'm asking everybody. So they better know what to do or they better ask what to do. So that's how we keep it from being confusing, complicated. I don't know what situation you're in or was in or whatever the case may be. I'm not sure. But that's how we do it here. That's the way I like to do it. I want them to limit the mistakes our players make. And if I can help that, I'm going to. And, it's like, and I tell them, they all the time ask me, hey, coach, what route do I run? Now sometimes I'll draw a blank. I'll have to ask some receivers, hey, what's this person do here? Because we sometimes change up. We'll run trial and error, like in a game. We might run as a second route. We might run a curl or we might run a drag. And we realize that it didn't run that work in that, against the competition, so we'll change that. And, if I don't have my play sheet right in front of me, I'll ask somebody because I don't want to make a mistake. And that's the same way, and that's what you do. So that's how we keep from getting confused here and, try not to make it complicated and keep it simple. So I appreciate this question. Appreciate you answering. Next question says, what's your favorite offensive formation and why? It depends on if I got a running quarterback or if I got a pocket passer or if I got one that can do both. So that's the why. Is first and foremost, you got to have the center to get the ball to the quarterback, and that exchange has to be smooth. And then the next thing, that quarterback, I know they don't necessarily make the decisions. We pre-call plays or whatever, but they have to make good decisions with the ball. They have to know what to do. Certain formations fit better, certain quarterbacks better than others, just like the running backs. Some running backs are made to run up the middle, some ain't. So you change up the formation for the ones that can and ones that can't. So I'm the type of guy, And we might change formation from 1 year to next depending on the personnel we got. And, you know, it's just if you have to, it's just that simple. So, you know, if you don't have to, it's that much better. You know, then that way everybody's already, all the veteran players know what's coming. And if you have to change, that means everybody, you know, it's like, oh, man, I forgot, I got to remember all this stuff. So that's the way, you know, it's just the way it is. And that happened in NFL and college. They change coordinators or change head coaches. Different coaches like to learn different things. Ty, last question here is, what's your favorite defense formation and why? Well, same concept, same thing. It all depends. For me, it's all about personnel. And I guess that should, I can just answer both of them with that is personnel. And I know you probably want more from me than that. Let's get ready to play here in the not too long and all that. I'm not going to give you more than that. But that's why, you know, it's all about the personnel. And that personnel, too, we might change that defense from one game to the next to match it to the other team's personnel. I mean, it just goes back to that nickel package thing. If they throw it all the time, then you got to have more defensive backs back there. If they run it all the time, you got to have less defensive backs back there. So personnel is going to change depending on what the opponents do. That's it for tonight. But I do want to thank everybody for listening and sending in the questions, and hope I answered all these to the specifications that I've asked to do. It's tough, you know, to get it all right, but man, it's been fun. I look forward to doing this every Tuesday night. People don't realize it's a lot harder than what it seems to be. And everything is this hard, but it is. But it's a lot of fun once, you know, I'm getting more used to it and familiar with it and know how to go about things. I like to have guests on here. We're hoping, I know we're back in our time, but we're hoping to each week in the USWFL is having offensive and defensive player of the week. I'm hoping that I can get, after every weekend, that I can get those two players on the show on Tuesday night, whatever night we have, whatever, if we ever decide to change it or whatever the case may be. I like having guests on here talk about their team, just talk about any different things. So we got that to look forward to. Like I said, next week, a couple special guests. Thank everybody for listening, and till next Tuesday night, everybody have a good one.